All right, our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be reading the first six verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hear the word of your God. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of our God abides forever. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. This is a time when we look to your word and we desire that you would teach us from your word. So be with me, I pray, as I speak, and be with all of the hearers, that you would lead us to Christ, and that we would see Christ in this passage. O Lord, open your word to us. Open our ears, that our mouths may show forth your praise. I pray these things through Jesus' name. Amen. What gives a man the right to come into a pulpit on a Sunday morning and say that he's speaking on behalf of God? Isn't that essentially what a pastor is doing? He's coming and saying that he is declaring God's word, if he's a legitimate pastor. No, the sermon's supposed to be an exposition of what God has said through Scripture. It's God's words. Now, would you come to this place on Sunday morning if it was just a man standing here and giving his own personal opinion about how you should live? You can get that on television or radio or some other place. You don't have to come here for someone else's personal opinion. But you come to this place because you want to know what God is saying to you, what God has to say about your life. So what, or rather, who gives a man the right to speak on behalf of God? The only one who can give that right. God himself is the one who sends ministers to speak his words. A minister is an ambassador, bringing someone else's word. He's bringing the word of the king. And because of this, preachers have a sobering responsibility to say only God's words and not their own. There's no room for self-promotion. There's no room for personal pontification. Now think of John the Baptist, possibly the greatest preacher in all of history. He was sent by God. He was honored by God. In fact, in the Gospel of John, it says he was sent from God. It actually says that. And Jesus said himself, of those born of women, there is not a greater man than John. John was the herald of the incarnation. He was given the privilege of paving the way for the greatest single event in all of human history, the coming of the God-man. Jesus Christ coming for the salvation of sinners, and John was sent to preach that. But what did he say when when he was preaching, at the height of his ministry. He said, Jesus must increase and he must decrease. And you think about John, there is very little information about him personally. We have a little bit, but there aren't records of his sermons and books of his biographies. He seems like a relatively small character in the Gospels. Why is that? It's because the Gospels were and are about Jesus Christ. So no matter how great a man John was, the Gospels are about Christ, exalting him and speaking of him. It doesn't matter how great the preacher was. So gospel preaching must proclaim and glorify Christ alone. Because it's the words of God, gospel preaching must proclaim and glorify Christ alone. We'll look at this under three headings. First, preaching must be honest. And second, preaching must be Christ-centered. And third, preaching must rely on God's illumination. So first of all, preaching must be honest. Look at our chapter here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verses 1 through 4, really we have this. It begins in verse 1, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." Now, why would he be talking about losing heart? Well, Corinthian church, if you're familiar with 1 and 2 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was not an easy congregation. There were a lot of problems there. There was adultery, and there was abuse of the lower classes of church members. They were making parties out of communion. And so Paul had to write that first letter of to the Corinthians as a corrective for that. And then Paul, we find out in the beginning of 2 Corinthians, that Paul has actually made a visit to the Corinthian church, and he's been very discouraged. He says in chapter 2 that it was with much affliction, anguish, many tears. This is a difficult congregation. I hope you're not doing the same for your pastor. But this ministry brought Paul immense physical and emotional pain. And people in the Corinthian church had been accusing Paul of doing this, of preaching, of being the pastor, the great apostle, for the sake of his own advancement, for his own power, manipulating people and doing it for his own promotion and for his own gain. And so then he begins talking about the affliction with which he ministered to them and all the trouble he went through, not to brag, but to tell them, no, this isn't about me. It's not about me promoting myself or being more powerful, being important, or having financial gain. And you can see that because he says, like he says in chapter 1, the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. Came at great personal cost. Now, Paul had been speaking very authoritatively about his ministry. When he writes in 1 Corinthians, he speaks as from God. He comes with God's authority, and when he comes to the second letter to the Corinthians, he starts out by saying, an apostle by the will of God. He ties it directly to God. He's sent from God. He says in his greeting, grace to you and peace from God. And this isn't sinful boasting. Paul's not just doing this on his own, but instead he's proclaiming with confidence the authority which he comes to them, to the church. He has been sent by his Lord. And Paul and Timothy, Paul and Timothy found their confidence to continue in their difficult ministry in spite of all the problems that the Corinthian church was having. They found their confidence to continue, as we see here in verse 1, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Paul and Timothy had been shown mercy by God. They had been brought out of sin. You remember Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. Pastors and even the apostles were not sinless anomalies. They were sinners who God had brought to himself. They had repented and God had sent them on a mission. So the pastors, like Timothy, were not just born leaders and they were sort of ruling over the church as sort of small dictators or something. They were sheep that God had brought to the fold as the great shepherd. So they were sheep before they were under shepherds, before they were shepherds of the flock. They had received this ministry by the mercy of God, and because God had sent them, because they were on God's mission, they didn't lose heart even when things got rough with the congregation or with ministry or with outsiders. But because God had called them to preach his message, they could not use deceptive means. They could not have a seeker-sensitive message. They had to present the gospel that God had given to them to preach. And so he says in verse 2, "But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways." Some other translations will say in this section that we refuse to practice cunning or to adulterate the word of God. And it says here in this translation, the ESV, to tamper with God's word. but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. It's an honest gospel. Their preaching is straightforward. They're not going to sugarcoat it. They're not going to try to do a bait and switch where they present it one way and then once you got people inside the church, then you'll tell them the truth about what it is. They're not going to try to make it seem like something it's not. You think about prosperity gospel or the name it and claim it. You see that, you'll see that on television evangelists. Well, you'll see that where they tell people that Jesus wants you to be rich. He wants you to have a happy life now. So if you just have enough faith, then you can have the house you want, the boat you want, whatever it is. And they're trying to pull people in, pull the world in, by telling them things that aren't true, by presenting a false gospel. Just because you are not preachers does not mean you are exempt from this. You as well, as you talk to your neighbors, as you talk to friends and coworkers, you are responsible to present the gospel honestly. Not to sugarcoat it, not to make it seem, you know, if you could make it more palatable to your neighbor in order to try to get them interested, instead of just presenting the gospel as it is in Scripture. It doesn't always have the effect that you hope it does. You present the gospel honestly to somebody at work, they may not like it very much. They may not want to talk to you anymore. They may not think you're crazy. And as you see here, it says that it's verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Honest preaching doesn't always have the effect that you want. And we'll look at that more in the third point. But honest preaching always proclaims Jesus Christ as truly God. And you see that here, that one of the things that the God of this world, or Satan, is trying to blind the minds of unbelievers to is the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so preaching Christ as God is central to the gospel message. In fact, preaching that doesn't preach Christ as God is preaching for the wrong side, because that's exactly what Satan wants the world to believe. And so we come to our second point. Preaching must be Christ-centered. That's really the proof of honest preaching, is Christ-centered preaching. You see that here Paul is having to tell this to the Corinthians, and you see this in verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. And people in the Corinthian church had been saying, accusing Paul and Timothy of lording it over the congregation, of promoting themselves as the head of the church. And so he says, no, we're not preaching ourselves. We're not pushing ourselves onto you. We're not trying to gather a following. We're preaching Christ alone. If you remember, in 1 Corinthians, Paul had rebuked the Corinthian church because they were doing exactly that. They were following men. Some said, I'm of Paul. Some said, I'm of Apollos. They were following men and trying to put themselves in these different camps. He said, no, we're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching Christ Jesus as Lord. You see, the gospel is not about creating a society or just a social group. It's about the creature's broken fellowship with his Creator through his rebellion. And the only way to that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the gospel, and so he must be central to the preaching. As we said earlier, ministers come as ambassadors of the king. They come not preaching themselves, not saying their own words or giving their own opinions. Preachers are to come preaching Christ, preaching God's word. You think of it's not quite as relevant these days to talk about ambassadors, because if the president sends an ambassador to another country, to the UN or whatever, if that ambassador then goes and represents the president falsely, the president's going to know about it, and you know, if it's a phone call away or a tweet away. And in the old days, before instant communication, think of the importance of an ambassador, someone that the king or the president could trust, who would go and say only what he had intended, only what the king had intended. Because if the ambassador went to speak to a foreign dignitary and started spouting off his own political ideas and his own desire for what the country should do, the king could very well have a war on his hands. The ambassadors were trusted only to speak the words of the king. They weren't to be representing themselves. An ambassador who does less is worse than useless. He's a threat. So the gospel must be honest. It must preach Christ as central. It's not man-centered. You see, the gospel, it's not even when it comes to sinners, it's not man-centered. Even when it comes to the people who need salvation, it's because God has been offended. Because Christ, the Creator, has been offended. His laws have been broken. It's all about Him. And so it's the sinners who have broken that trust. And then when it comes to salvation, it's Him. It's all about Him. He's the one who makes that way. And why do we need salvation? Paul's going to say in a couple chapters that we'll all come before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ Himself is the great judge, the one before whom all sinners will stand and give an account. He's the one, as it says, and he explains in Matthew, he'll be the one dividing the sheep and the goats. So everything, it's all centered on Christ. It's not about man and his desires or his what he wants or what is his happiness in this life. This includes preaching Christ as Lord is not just simply a bald statement. Jesus is the Creator, and He's the only Savior. It includes much more than that. You see, the Bible is His book. The commandments are His commandments. And so in teaching and preaching Christ alone, in preaching Christ as Lord, the commandments come under that. Because Christ is Lord, not it doesn't just mean He owns it all or He created it all. It means that He has the right of rule. He has the right to say what is good and what is not good. And so as we come to Him in by faith, we're also to be keeping His commandments. And Paul gets into that, especially you see that, you can look at the end of chapter 6 here in 2 Corinthians, and chapter 7, and he talks about living holy lives. That's part of preaching Christ as Lord. We preach all of Scripture. What do we teach the children in the children's catechism when we ask them, how can you glorify God? He says, the answer is by loving Him and doing what He commands. We glorify God by living with Christ as Lord. But part of having Christ as Lord for the preachers means that they are not Lord. And so Paul says here that we present ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. And even there you see, even when he's presenting himself as a servant, he points to Christ. Even his servanthood to the Corinthian church, to those believers, is for Christ's sake. It's because he's a bondservant of Christ. Isn't this exactly what Jesus taught his disciples? He modeled it for his disciples, in fact. And then if you look in one of the places where Jesus talks about that is Matthew 20, where the disciples are bickering about who's greatest, and Jesus says the Gentiles, the non-believers, the pagans, they're the ones that their leaders lord it over them. He says, it's not to be so with you. But the one who's the leader has to be the servant of all. The one who's going to be greatest, he has to become the least. And you think of the ways in which Jesus modeled that for his disciples. You think of John 13, where Jesus washes their feet. He says, this is the example of how you're to act towards one another. And then showing his, even the ultimate display of that in giving himself as a sacrifice on behalf of his people. And he models this and shows us a different way of acting. It's a uniquely biblical way, a uniquely Christian, if you will, way of acting. This isn't like anything else. The leaders being the servants. The leaders coming with humility because they belong to a master, a greater master. And Jesus says, you better not be acting as lords over the people, lording it over the people, because you're not greater than your master. So if I act this way, you more so. Servant's not greater than his Lord. This doesn't mean that the congregation is then allowed to treat their leaders as though they're slaves, right? You can't just go, well, he's to be the servant, so I'll call him up and see if I need some yard work done. No, Christians are all to be acting in this way. Every one of us is supposed to have this servant attitude, to be living in this way. And Paul gets into that, and you think about Philippians 2, where he says that we're supposed to be living in unity with one another. He says, considering other people as better than yourselves. We're to be servants to one another. You are to be serving your pastor. You would be serving in this church, serving one another. But none of this can come just by reasoning your way to it. This isn't going to come to you just under your own steam. And so we have our third point, preaching must rely on God's illumination. Looking back at verses 3 and 4, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So these people, the non-believers, are already blind on their own. But it's like Satan has his hands over their eyes as well. So there is not a chance for the unbelievers. The deck is stacked against them. And it can only come through God's work in the heart that the eyes would be opened. Paul says to Timothy that people, rather than hearing the truth, they would much rather have their ears tickled. They would rather hear what they want to hear and not the truth of Christ as Lord, Christ as God. And so Paul says in our letter here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, he says that the gospel comes and it's the aroma of Christ is an aroma of death to death for the non-believers. They can't see the beauty. They don't see the beauty of it. But for believers, it's the aroma of life to life. And only the Holy Spirit can work that in a person's life. But just because the Word of God doesn't, and the gospel doesn't have the effect that you hope it would or you think it should, don't ever think that it's ineffective. Because God says through Isaiah in chapter 55, he says that just like rain comes down from the sky, from the clouds, and goes to the earth, and it's not going to evaporate until it has watered the ground, he says, so my word is never ineffective. It always does what he wants, and it will never return to him void. Look at this last verse. This is a beautiful way of showing God's work in the heart, God's work of illuminating. It says in verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Just like God in that first act of creation, in the darkness, in the chaos, said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And not like Moses, when he saw the glory of God, just caught that glimpse of the outer edges of the glory of God, and his face was shining so much, the Israelites said, "Moses, cover your face." But in Christ, we see all the glory of God. In Christ, we see it unveiled. You have a great privilege of living on this side, in this part of history, where you have the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. So what have we seen this morning? All preaching must be Christ-centered, always proclaiming Christ as Lord. Preaching Christ as Lord includes all of Scripture. It includes application to everyday life and how you live. Preaching relies on the work of the Holy Spirit for regeneration and for growth in Christian life. And for preaching to be Christ-centered and biblical, it must be honest. No sugarcoating, no watering down, trying to entice men, but honest preaching. Jesus Christ is Lord. All things are of Him and through Him and to Him. To Him be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that You would glorify Christ, that for His great work that You would glorify our only Savior. Oh Lord, that we would regard Him as Lord alone in our hearts, that our lives would be governed by Him alone. Lord God, to You alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.